and I'm Pastor Matt, if I didn't mention that before, and it's great to have you with us today. If we can get those slides up, please. So you're getting handed a bit of paper, and if you don't have a pen, if you have a pen, you don't have to steal one, but if you don't have a pen, you can grab one. So if for those that are just catching up, or maybe you've joined today, or you're visiting, we've been doing this term, a series on the Bible book of Leviticus. And let me see if you get this right for once. This is the last week on our Leviticus series. It's not bad, not bad. There's a few people ready for it. You're supposed to be disappointed and sad, you know. And this is the last week on our Leviticus series. And we've been looking through this book that's a book that's got a whole lot of laws, and it's a challenging book, but we've been looking all through it, how it points towards Jesus and is fulfilled in Jesus, and the joy in when Jesus fulfills the law of the Old Testament in Leviticus. It's been a great series. And I'm always conscious whenever we're talking about Bible or when I'm preaching that we often, in goes a sermon out and then we go home and it's finished. And so I want us to, before I talk a little bit about today's passage, the last passage, I want us just to stop and do a bit of reflection. Can you handle that? I know some of you love reflection and some of you are going, oh, can't we just get on with it? But we're going to stop. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to do a little bit of like revision. You know, I know it feels a bit like school, you know, revise the term, but we're allowed to revise our Bible too. You know that? Yes? So we're just going to do a little bit of where we've been, a little bit of just pause just for a moment and have a look at where we've been and get you to think about maybe one thing that God's saying to you through this series we've been doing. So what I want you to do for each little point, I'm going to go through each of the weeks briefly, very briefly. You're allowed to write a maximum of two words of something that jogs or something that sticks with you. Is there something I need to think or feel or pray or do in response? For each of the ones I do, try not to jump ahead. Try and just stick with the one we're doing. You're just going to pause. I want you just, you can only allowed to write two words, right? How many words? Two. I don't want to see anyone doing their journal for the next week there or writing down whatever else. So when we started this series, way back at the start, we started with the start of Leviticus that talks about the sacrifices and particularly talked about the burnt offering. And if you remember that, the whole start of Leviticus and really the whole Leviticus is God is holy and perfect and people are sinful and broken. So there's this gap, right? The whole of Leviticus, we're seeing God's holy and perfect, people are broken, and there's this gap between God and people. But starting with just a little glimpse, the shadow in the Old Testament, God made a way, because he's full of grace. Everyone say grace. God is full of grace, so God made a way for imperfect people like you and me to be in relationship with the living God. And it was modeled first of all in the Leviticus where they were making sacrifices of what? What were they killing? Goats, bulls, sheep. So firstly in that, but ultimately Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice. Amen? How many times have we got to sacrifice Jesus? Once. One sacrifice, right? And so holy, perfect God, imperfect people, but God's full of grace and he made a way for you to be in relationship with him. Just take 30 seconds, have a think about that. What comes to your mind? What's God saying? You're allowed to write a maximum of two words on that first week. They can, maybe a couple can share with their neighbour. All right. Have most people got one now? All right. Now, you've got to make sure you take these home too. I want you to take them home and read them. All right. We don't want to be here all morning. So that was the start of Leviticus. Then we moved on to chapter 3 and chapter 7 of Leviticus. And we talked about an attitude of gratitude. Because one of the offerings and sacrifices, they had to go and give thanks. And we talked about how an attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude, leads to peace in your life. That when you have a, if you're just someone who's never thankful, it leads to a real sense of stress and anxiety. When we're a thankful people for what we do have, it leads to peace, especially when we're thankful to God. And I talked about this idea, and it's, I might know if it's in your notes or not, but don't let what you don't have steal the joy of what you do have. Make sense? So many people let what they don't have rob them from the joy of what they do have. And God expects us to, yes, He knows we're in pain. He expects us to be thankful, have an attitude of gratitude in your life. So take 30 seconds. What's God saying about that one? Now, we could stay and reflect for a lot longer on these, but we're going to keep going through. We've got, you know, six or seven to get through before we get to the little bit on today's topic. So then after we went to attitude of gratitude, then we looked at the priesthood. And we looked at, this was the start in the Old Testament where God brought in all the rules and the priests started their work. And the priests had a privileged position and also an awesome responsibility. They had a privileged position because they were mediating between the people and God, and they had to do all these sacrifices and all this ritual because they mediated between the people and God. They were kind of the pathway to forgiveness. Go through these priests, do these rituals, and then God will accept you. So they had a really privileged position and an awesome responsibility. So awesome was their responsibility that two of Aaron's sons, when they did the sacrifices wrong, what happened? Right? This is how, and then we looked at, in Jesus, we don't need priests anymore. That's why I'm a pastor, not a priest. Who's our priest now? Jesus. And in fact, we looked at the fact the Bible says we are all a kingdom of priests. You know that? You're a priest. There you go. Welcome, priests. Because you have direct access to the living God now. Every day, you're in a, and just like the priest, we said we have a privileged position. Now we're in direct relationship with the living God all the time, and we also have an awesome responsibility, just like those priests, to go and share the love of Christ, don't we? We're not sitting on our bums doing nothing. So we too, direct access to God, because we're all a kingdom of priests now in Jesus Christ, but we have also an awesome responsibility. What's God saying about the priesthood to you? I love that priesthood idea of who I am in God. I'm not this broken person trying to find someone to forgive me. I just stand before God, full access to Him. Then we moved on to the next part of Leviticus that talked about all the clean and unclean rules and all these rules around what's clean and what's unclean. And again, it was a symbol of our brokenness before God and that God is about wholeness and restoration. And these, all the things that were clean and unclean, both health-wise and food-wise, pointed towards that restoration where one day everyone's going to be whole. God cares about body, mind, and spirit. We're not going to be floating on a cloud, or there's going to be full restoration, right? Resurrection bodies, that's good, isn't it? I don't want to just be floating on some cloud somewhere. I want to actually have a life in heaven. And God cares about the whole person. He cares about wholeness. And finally in that, as we keep thinking about how it pointed to Jesus, we recognize that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So when God looks at us now, He looks at us in Jesus and goes, Matt, you're clean. He doesn't go, have you done enough stuff to be clean? He just goes, Matt, you are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I've got the right shirt on, right? Got the shirt on today. I'm clean before God all the time. He looks at me as accepted. What does that mean to you? The next part of Leviticus, we looked at the Day of Atonement, this most holy of days for the Old Testament people. And in this topic, we looked at the seriousness of sin. That sin isn't no light matter. Oh, what does it matter? I've done a few things wrong. I'm not real good. We looked at how serious this is. And we looked at that video, the two scariest lies in the world today, that you are a good person and a loving God won't punish. Those two great lies. Sin is a serious thing. It separates us from God. And atonement, payment, has to be made. Now, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, showing a glimpse of Jesus, there was two goats, right? One goat was killed for the sins of the people. The other goat, called the scapegoat, they laid their hands on it, they put their sins on the goat and then sent it away. And in Jesus Christ, he died for your sins, amen, made atonement, and he took our sins on him and took them away. Hallelujah, right? The psalmist writes, as far as the east is, no, wrong way, as far as the east is from the west, so far your sins have been removed from you. And so we are atoned once for all in Jesus Christ. Our sins have been taken away because Jesus was made the scapegoat. What does that mean to you? Two words, you could almost write, right, thank you for each one, couldn't you? Yeah. All right, we're going to keep moving just so we don't run out of time. And then a couple more before we get to today's little one. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Leviticus 19, at love your neighbour. And Luke preached on that love your neighbour idea, that part of the law wasn't just these worship rituals, but part of the law was how we would love each other as a community. And God cares about how we love our neighbour. Love God, love your neighbour. What's the sign that this is right? This is right, right? We're loving each other. And particularly Luke focuses a bit around that idea of having integrity, because a lot of those laws about love your neighbor were how you would speak and how you would act. And he talked particularly about how we should live with integrity. So what does that mean to you, to live with integrity? And then last week, before we get to today's, we looked at the festivals in Leviticus. These seven festivals, there's six there, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are kind of two, but in one. But we looked how God gave them this pattern of life together as a community. It wasn't just an individual thing. He gave them a community pattern of how to live with all these different. And you could go into each of those festivals and talk about how they represented Jesus as well, and the Passover. Death passed over them. We could look at each one. We're not going to do that today. But the main overarching picture was God gave them a community pattern of life to make sure they would keep reminding each other who God is and what he's done, right? Who God is and what he has done. This pattern to life was going to keep reminding them that, and into the New Testament. This hasn't got less. The New Testament church, every day we're worshiping together and praying and in each other's homes and celebrating Jesus. So what's the community pattern of life that God's given us to remind us who God is and what he's done? So just take a moment on that one, and then we're going to get to today's passage. And the last one you have on your sheet is for today, blessings and curses. And I'd really like you to take these home, put them in your Bible, and at least once this week, just pray over some of those things. These are the truths that we've been learning through God's word in Leviticus. Let's not have them just wash away. Let's not have the enemy steal them, right? Let's have them sink in. So take those home and just at least once this week, just pray over those things that we've been learning in Leviticus. So let me do that now. Let me pray, and then we're going to read a bit of chapter 26. And then we're going to have a bit of look at that before we finish up today. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for the book of Leviticus. Even though we recognize it is hard to read at times, it's hard going and even hard to understand, and yet we've been able to see this term. All through it, we can see how it just gives us a glimpse into what Jesus has done. And we celebrate that we're not under the law. We celebrate that we're under Jesus Christ's freedom and grace. We celebrate, Jesus, that you are the lamb that was slain, that perfect sacrifice. All those sacrificial systems, they could never really forgive sins. They were just a symbol waiting for Jesus who could forgive sins. So we just want to thank you, Jesus, that you are the perfect sacrifice. And now we're all priests. We all have direct access to the living God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give you thanks. If there's anything we need to take away from this study on Leviticus, God, may it hold true in our hearts and our minds and the way we live, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So take those home for reflection. Sue's on the reading today. Where is she? She is. Sue, auntie. I'm getting ready for India. Sue, auntie.
Okay. This is Leviticus chapter 26. The first 13 verses are the blessings for obedience. Do not make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptured stones in your land so you may worship them. I am the Lord your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath your sword. I will look favourably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people. And I will fulfil my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new harvest. I will live among you and I will not despise you. I will walk among you. I will be your God and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so you would no longer be their slaves. I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk with your heads held high. Now from verse 14 to 17, these are the punishments for disobedience. However, if you do not listen to me or obey all these commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, treating my regulations with contempt, and refusing to obey my commands, I will punish you. I'll bring sudden terrors upon you, wasting diseases and burning fevers that will cause your eyes to fail and your life to ebb away. You'll plant your crops in vain because your enemies will eat them. I will turn against you and you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you and you will run even when no one is chasing you.
Sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? Ooh. Don't get on the wrong side of God, as my friend Bright said recently. Blessings and curses. So we've gone through this series of Leviticus. We've gone through the book of Leviticus in Bible study in here. And then we get right to the end of the book. Now, there is another little sub-little chapter, chapter 27, with another little instance. But really, this is the main conclusion to the book. So this is kind of the end of the matter. So God's given all these laws. He's given all the instructions of how they are to live. And then at the end of all those instructions, he says, now you've got a choice. Here's how I want you to live. I've explained it all. You can either choose to follow me and be blessed, or you can choose to reject me and face my punishment and face my curse. Now, it seems these days we live in a world where we've got heaps of choices, right? So many choices, sometimes too many choices. I used to love when I was growing up, there was a series of kids' books called Choose Your Own Adventure. Anyone remember these ones? Yeah. They were really good books, and you get to the bottom of each page, and then you had a choice to make, right? Do you want to jump over the river, and then you would turn to that page, and you could kind of decide how the story was going to go. That was your choice. So many choices. It can be a bit stressful in our world. Sometimes we've been to that restaurant, Cronides. I don't know if you've been there at Katara. Have you seen the site? Who's been there? How about their menus, right? There are like 5 pages. There's like 3,000 things to pick from. You don't know what you're going to eat. It gets a bit ridiculous. You go in the supermarkets now. You want bread? No, I want rye, pumpkin seed, something, right? Sourdough, half-baked, half-fried, something. Choices. Well, some of those things are a bit insignificant. We make some more serious choices in life, don't we? About marriage, about people make choices to move to other parts of the world even. There's some big choices in life, isn't there? People making decisions about houses, right? People, all sorts of things. We make some big decisions. But there is no bigger decision any person will make in life than the decision that faced people back in Leviticus and faces people now. And it's the decision where God says, do you want to go my way or you want to go your own way? Every human in history faces this decision. Everyone in this room faces this decision. Everyone after I die is going to face this decision. God is looking them in the face and saying, do you want to go my way and live under the blessing of God, or you want to go it yourself and face my punishment and go yourself? This is the choice that is pictured in Old Testament Israel. We get a glimpse of it in Old Testament Israel, but it's the same choice for every person for all time. God says, make the choice. I put it all out there for you. What do you want to do? You want to go my way or you want to go it alone? And we'll see. Well, particularly for Old Testament Israel, we see in there it's pretty clear how it was going to go for them. If we read verse 3, God said, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands. And then he goes on to tell them all the blessings that we read. And there's a whole lot of blessings there. There's blessings of rain. Well, our nation could use some rain right now. And is God withholding that? Because I don't know. We can debate about that. But we need the blessing of rain right now. It said that their crops would grow. It said that they would live in safety and peace with their friends and their neighbours. It says that wild animals won't attack them. It says that they would increase in number, that their enemies won't defeat them. And finally, it says that the presence of God will be with them. So this is what God says. He's just, you want to go this way? You want to go my way? This is how it's going to go if you go my way. Now, we've got to be a little careful here because someone have taken this passage and they've tried to say that if you're faithful, everything's going to go perfect, right? It doesn't work like that, I'm afraid. I don't know about you, but to me, some of the most faithful people in the world are in a prison cell because of the name of Jesus. Some of the most faithful people that I've read about have died because they claim the name of Jesus, right? So you've got to be careful that you don't just apply this to every individual little situation. This was God's overall plan to the nation Israel. But it's an outworking of the original curse of sin that came in Genesis, right? Everything, when God created it, it was good. It was perfect. We broke it. And I said before, three things particularly were broken when sin came into the world. Our relationship with God was broken. Broken relationship, holy God, imperfect people. Our relationship with each other was broken, and now we have conflict. We had the world's first murder in Genesis 4. So relationships with people, we have greed, we have jealousy. And the third thing that was broken was a relationship between people and creation was broken, right? And that's why we're having drought right now, isn't it? It's an outworking of brokenness of creation. And so this was just another picture to the nation Israel of what happens with sin when you reject God. God says, well, you want to go it yourself, you're going to be in trouble. Because after these blessings, if you follow God, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to be with you. After these blessings, we had the difficulty of the judgments. Now, particularly verse 14, have a look at this. However, if you do not listen to me or obey all these commands, which commands? Wow. That's getting a bit scary for us, isn't it? You've got to obey all the commands. And if you don't do this, God says there's going to be disease, there's going to be no rain, there's going to be no fruit on the vine, no crops in the ground, your enemies are going to come and attack you, your cities are going to be destroyed, your children are going to be taken. There's a horrible verse down in verse 20 that says you're going to eat the flesh of your children. You want to know what happened to Israel? Exactly that. They actually ate the flesh of their children. Their enemies defeated them because they chose not to follow God. They actually chose to go their own way time and time again. You read the Old Testament, Israel lived out this curse because they refused to give in to God's law. So at this point, we might be a bit scared, right? Because it said you have got to obey all his commands. Whew. All right, hands up all the perfect people. All right, you're in the wrong place. There you go. I think you might have to go home. You put your hand up, you're already imperfect because you haven't recognized your imperfection. So we're all in a bit of trouble. Are we all under the curse? That doesn't sound too good, does it? Well, let's see what Jesus does to this curse. Galatians 3. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey what? all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So here the Apostle Paul's writing and he says, yep, you want to go by the law? Well, make sure you've obeyed every single part of the law, otherwise you're under the curse. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Further on, in other versions say, Jesus became the curse. So this is the good news, right? You should have a smile by now, right? No longer are we thinking we're under the law, and if I haven't obeyed all the commands, I'm cursed. Instead, Jesus was cursed on the cross. So now you, instead of being cursed, this is you instead. Let's read together. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So the fulfillment of all this blessing and curse, the choice that God says, go with me or go against me. In Jesus, he says, Jesus became the curse. So now the choice is what? Jesus or go yourself. And in Jesus, you're not thinking, have I obeyed every single law? In Jesus, you're thinking, I accept Jesus' forgiveness and now I have some blessing. How many spiritual blessings have I got? I own in Jesus every spiritual blessing. It's mine. It's kept. No one has the right to take that away from me now and forever if I accept Jesus Christ. I have every spiritual blessing. I'm not under the curse. Now I can say, so how kind is the love of the Father that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. I am a child of God. But still now, like the Old Testament, people have a choice. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So do you see that? Still now in Christ, people have a choice. They're still living under the curse if they reject Jesus, right? They're living under the curse. So still God is saying the same thing, but he's giving the final ultimatum in Jesus. He's saying you're either with me or you're against me. You make a choice. You can have all the spiritual blessings and you can possess them and you can have eternal life. Or you can go it yourself and see how life pans out and some things will go okay and in the life to come you're going to be judged. Well, good luck with that. Or you can have perfect in heaven. The choice is yours. Two ways to live. But even for those, there's a little caveat here because it doesn't just finish here, I don't think. Even for those like me and hopefully most of you who have accepted Jesus and now live under the blessing and we're not living under the curse, right? So we never live under, if you've accepted Jesus, you never live under the curse, right? Not cursed, right? Turn to your neighbor, tell them, I'm not cursed. Not cursed. Blessed. In Jesus, I'm blessed. You're never under the curse, you're under the spiritual blessing. But, here's the but. Still in this life, we have to choose every day to be obedient to Christ. Did you know that? Still every day, we've got to choose to hand over every area of our life to Jesus because we're all on a journey. So even though I own every spiritual blessing in Christ, God still is at work disciplining, teaching his children, isn't he? So it's not that everything's going to go practically perfect in this life because I have every spiritual blessing. I own every spiritual blessing. One day in heaven, I'm going to receive that perfectly, body, mind, and spirit. But right now, I have every spiritual blessing, but I have to choose every day to walk in obedience to Christ, to walk and live in that blessing. In fact, it says this in Hebrews. The Lord disciplines the ones he loves. Did you know that? God still, he doesn't judge his children because you're accepted once for all, right? Judgment is different to discipline. You know that? Very different. If you've got kids, you discipline them and sometimes you judge them, but you try not to, right? Let's be honest, parents. I'm not the only parent, am I? That sometimes you get cranky and you are judgmental sometimes. But most of the time, you're just trying to discipline them because you love them, aren't you? God is the same. Even though we have every spiritual blessing, he does discipline us. And how about this in Romans 12? We're nearly at the end. Stay with me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So here, the Apostle Paul says, choose to be obedient to Christ, right? Give your whole life to Jesus. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will for you is, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So, think of this. I possess every spiritual blessing. I'm never under the curse ever. But I'm not always walking in that blessing of God perfectly. I've got to choose every day to say, I want to follow you and be obedient. What is God's will? God's way is what? Three things here. It's good. It's, someone say it, speak it out. Pleasing. And it's, so God's way, the living in, so God's way is good and pleasing and perfect. So that's the place I want to be in, right? But here it says, I have to actually live as a sacrifice and renew my thinking to make sure I'm living God's way. And if I'm not living God's way, I'm not living in the full blessings of Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? You own every spiritual blessing. You're never under the curse. But to walk in the blessing of God fully, you need to be obedient to Jesus and allow Jesus to transform every area of your life. And I say this with great caution because it's not an easy area. We need to pray about this. But there are things that happen in your life because you're not walking in obedience to Jesus. There are things in your life that are struggles and battles all the time because you're not walking in obedience to Jesus. Even though you're not living under the curse, God disciplines his children. And there are consequences because God's way is what? Good and pleasing and perfect. The other way is difficult, dangerous, sinful, and broken. So even though I possess every spiritual blessing, I've got to be in constant prayer, constant study, constant relationship with God so that my mind is renewed, so that I'm walking, then I'm going to know. Then I will know what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is, and I walk in the blessing of God. And so even though you own every spiritual blessing in Christ, once for all, you're forgiven. And in heaven one day, everything's going to be perfect. To really walk and live out the blessing of God now is the path of obedience to Jesus. It's the way to live in the blessing of God in this life, I believe. I own every spiritual blessing, but God's way is the best way. And the only way to go God's way is to be praying that I'll be obedient, right? That makes sense. I'm not preaching a gospel of law here. We're saved by grace only. But to live in the blessing of God is to live God's way and to be obedient to him because his way is perfect. So everyone's got a choice. Everyone's got an ultimate choice to live under the curse or to accept Jesus and live under the blessing of God. Everyone's got a choice every day when you get up every morning. You've got a choice in every conversation you have, every situation you go into at work, in the family. You've got a choice to walk God's way, which is the good and pleasing and perfect way, or you've got a choice to go at your own and be selfish and do your own thing and not be under the blessing of God in that situation. And finally, here's the good news. God never writes anyone off. If we go back to Leviticus 26, after all Israel has done wrong and they did everything wrong and they got judged for it, God is in the business of not writing people off and he's in the business of restoration. Verse 44, verse 45 of chapter 26. But despite all this, I will not utterly reject or despise them when they're in exile in the land of their enemies. I won't cancel my covenant with them by wiping them out, for I am the Lord their God. For their sakes, I will remember my ancient covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So here God says, at the end of the matter, even if you get it wrong and you're living under the curse, I'm the God that's in forgiveness and restoration. How good's that? He doesn't write people off. He doesn't write anyone off, no matter what you've done. He's the God that's about forgiveness and restoration. But every human's got a choice to live under the curse from now into eternity, or to accept Jesus and own every spiritual blessing. And then every Christian who owns every spiritual blessing has a choice every day to walk in obedience, which is God's way, the best way, the blessed way, or to go at yourself and not walk in the blessing of God. Let's pray, and we're going to celebrate God's goodness with the song Glorious Day. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you have removed the curse from us through Jesus Christ. We want to just give you so much thanks and all the glory that we're not here in fear thinking, am I going to be all okay with God? Have I done enough stuff? We're just sitting here resting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you became the curse so that the curse was removed from us. And now we own every spiritual blessing. We're loved. We're forgiven. We have God's presence with us all the time. We have access to God directly in prayer all the time. We have the blessing of the Holy Spirit in us to help us overcome our selfishness and our sin. So God, we would pray for our community that many more people would choose the path of spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ and be removed from the curse. But for those of us that are under that spiritual blessing, help us to walk in that blessing, God. Help us to actually each day again just commit our lives and keep growing in faith that we would walk in obedience. Your way is the good way, the perfect way, the pleasing way. That's the way I want to walk, the good way, the perfect way. So would you help us in every situation in our lives, in every relationship, in everything we do and say, help us to be obedient to Jesus, to walk in his blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.